He did see Guru throw out the first pitch here on the last day. No one's asked me about that. There was some velo involved in that. I think he may have missed the strike zone, but I know Mike Aldretti, who had to catch it, was not prepared for that kind of velocity. So you guys might have to do your cuff weights and so forth and pick up on the velocity a little bit.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That made my day. I had an army.
That's the guy you want fired.
You know, I've been thinking about it, you know.
Maybe not. That's one of the most glowing recommendations of you or anybody, quite frankly, at this station that I have ever heard.
You guys laugh and scoff, and I know Spadoni's trying to get a hit
off
the
him off on 6th Street.
Bob, I got one for you.
He wants to leave goo in the tenderloin.
Hey, I do have to, we'll get to it before we get out of here, but Aisha Curry went on the podcast and talked about her husband, the great, the chef, Steph Curry, and his first line.
I got thoughts.
To kind of get at her. That's what we used to say. Did you get at her? And to start courting her. But my man can shoot it on and off the court, Evan. I love the line.
We're going to get to that sound in a bit.
The chef!
I got to come down Steph's road, to be honest.
Dude, you know it's hashtag random with me, Evan.
I know.
My guy Squirt, Zucci, man, they don't want Bochy to come here like you because they don't want him to manage what they believe is a mess. This team is not devoid of talent.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have Major League Baseball players, but they're not.
Devers, Adamas, Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee, Ramos, All-Star, Lee, Webb, and we'll see what's up with Root. Come on, man. And Rodriguez in the bullpen. Like, don't compare him to the 27 Yankees, E.
I'm not comparing him to Murderers Row. I'm comparing him to the team they're playing in 2 hours.
Well.
Look at this lineup.
A lot of teams
seriously,
will fail. Okay.
Seriously,
all
look
right.
at this lineup.
Oh, boy.
Tatis. Arraez. Didn't even play last night, by the way. Machado. O'Hearn. Bogarts. Also didn't play last night. Sheets. Couple bombs last night. Laureano. Jake Cronenworth, who, by the way, didn't play last night. Is hitting 8th. Jake Cronenworth would be in the middle of the Giants' order.
No, that's a fact.
And that's not even the best part of their team. They have the best bullpen in baseball.
Well, give me another team.
A good team?
The Cardinals.
Team?
Like, they're better than the Cardinals. And the Cardinals.
A good team or a bad team?
I get your drift. Evan, I'm telling you, man. I really believe they're better than what they're doing. That's obvious. Like, meet me halfway there. That's obvious, right? That's what's making this so frustrating.
I'm starting to believe that they're not.
The boss was doing him in Grandy Spaces last night. I couldn't get to him, but I went and re-listened. Like, let's just talk about it. Maybe you're not scoring on offense because your hitting coach has never done anything in the major leagues. Maybe he's not right for the job. Just a thought.
It's not the hitting coach's job to go to the plate for these dudes.
How are you going to be a vocal coach and you got no Grammys?
What?
How are you going to teach somebody how
I'm
to
sorry,
sing?
Sorry, that one went over my head.
You know what I mean, Evan? How are you going to teach somebody to sing and you have no voice? You never done it.
No, but
and
I need...
And that's Burl.
No, but if someone can't hit a high F because they don't have the pipes, I'm not going to be able to coach them to hit a high F.
Devers can hit a high F.
Some people are staccatos. Some people are baritones. I forget what the other one is. But my point is, a vocal coach cannot teach a baritone to sing outside of their range.
Are they better than 61 and 66 on this Thursday, Evan?
I don't know.
Oh,
I really don't.
Risotto?
I'm going to be honest,
they,
man.
Carter,
I'm
are they better be than 60? Be honest. I won't get mad. Are they better than they're playing?
A little bit, but not a lot. I mean, at the end of the day, this is just kind of who they are.
And Carter just looks at me and goes, no.
They stink.
You know what? Hey, hold on.
You guys are so front runners. When that trade was announced, I believe we would have had 3 different answers. You, Risotto, and Carter.
Yeah, and then we've watched the last 2 months, and here we are. Let's go to Ben, who's in Hayward. 888-957-9570 is the number. Why would Bruce Bochy want to come back? Ben, what's up, man?
There's no way he would want to come back. I mean, this team, there is no way. I mean, you look at him, it's been a whole year. I'd love to find out how many one-run scoring games that they've produced. It's incredible. Every time I, you know, check it out, it's like if I haven't listened to the game, I, you know, turn on my app, one run. They don't have it. And you know what? When Devers was picked up, I was not excited because, hey, the guy didn't even want to play first base, right? But not only that, say he changed his mind, but he wasn't ready to play first base. And they're in the middle of it. I don't get you spend all that money, and the only thing you can hope for initially is that he's a DH. But he didn't even produce then. And the other guys, you know, other than the pitching, I wouldn't, you know, nothing against the pitching. I feel sorry for the pitching.
Mm.
But come on. The other guys, Adames, really? I mean, at least he's picked up a little bit, but come on. Name them. They're not all the guys, Guru, that you named are not doing anything this year. Nothing.
And,
they aren't.
Yeah. No, you're right. But do you think a different voice could have them do better because the back of their baseball card is better than what they've been in a Giant uniform? That's my only point.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the deal. These guys aren't young either. I mean, Devers, okay. But the other guys aren't young, you know? And so, yeah, you look at the back of the baseball card. Yeah, there's great numbers there. But they're older. You know, Chapman's older. Adames is older, you know? And maybe, you know, I love Lee, but you know, maybe he's – that's it. You know, it's just – oh, my gosh. It just feels like they got to blow it up because I just see the same thing happening next year. I really do. I, you know, that's just me, but.
No, I hear you.
I
got you, Ben. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thing, you know, with the Devers thing, you know, they've got a kid, you know, in the farm system that's coming up. That's great. Is it Eldridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he plays first base. So is Adames. I mean, not Adames, Devers. What are they going to do? Is he going to go back to DH? That's what I mean about the Devers trade, where I wasn't excited. It's like, what? Didn't make sense to me. So, anyway,
I got you. Thanks, Ben. Nice. Appreciate the call. No, keep it up, buddy. You know what? This idea that the players aren't who they've been or have room to grow.
Talk to me.
Can I politely shoot it down?
Yeah.
Matt Chapman, do you think he's been down this year?
Go.
He's on pace for 20 home runs.
Yeah, somewhat. He's not on my list of like, oh my gosh, it's just been all bad.
760 OPS.
Okay.
That's literally what he's been the last 3 years.
Okay.
You look at Patrick Bailey. He's hitting .212 with a .570 OPS.
I've been over him though. Okay.
That's who he is. Jung-Hoo Lee is on pace for 10 home runs. Is going to hit 30 doubles.
Playing better though.
He's a little bit above average hitter for his OPS. Like, that's kind of who he is, I think.
Casey
Schmidt has got a .730 OPS, and he's going to hit 10 home runs this year. Dom Smith is going to hit, you know, 7 home runs this year. He's got a .750 OPS.
Yeah.
These are all players. Like, this is who they are. The guys that you're asking to perform better, there's only one dude who's not playing up to his standard. That's Rafael Devers. That's the only guy on this team that I see. Maybe Adames. Perhaps, but Adames and Devers are the two guys who have not hit up to their standard, at least from what they've done the last couple seasons.
And that's it. All right. No, I love that. I can do nothing with it but tell you this. It's not even so much of the individual's stats, Evan. It's the fact that they can't get going, regardless of who you are and how good you are. They can't piece anything together back to back to back like they did the other night when Willard told us and they hit 3 home runs in the first inning. There was 4-0. He thought San Diego had the 4 because people are so not used to the Giants doing that. My question is, so you're telling me through 127 games, because it's been a constant, regardless of who you are at the plate in a Giant uniform, you guys can't string anything together. And that's why I question something greater is going on in regard to upstairs mentally, Evan, to where everybody's not going to do it. I get it. At the same time, but this has been horrific in regard to ducks on a pond. If a guy had 2 home runs in the game and he's up on his third at bat, he's striking out if you're a Giant fan for you. And that's been the theme all year, that they can't just string anything together. I'm not saying hit for the cycle, hit for the Evan. It's something, there's a mental block going on, and I don't think Melvin has the key. And I know you're looking at me like, goo, it's not his job to unlock that, but something, there's a constipation with this offense that guys just can't get timely hits that is so uncanny that I just feel like you're not going to swap out all the players. You signed up half the dudes you they're on the books for years that you just mentioned. So I don't think it's far-fetched to think maybe we need another captain of the ship.
Maybe they do. But you know what?
When
I'm watching the second inning yesterday and NBC Sports Bay Area catches Willy Adames in a moment, whether he's mad at Melvin, whether he's mad at himself, I think he might just be mad at the world because Giants can't win a baseball game.
All right.
That's the expression on every single fan's face watching this team. Thanks. Willy Adames represented every single person that's been trying to watch this club for the last 2 months in that moment. Screaming about I don't know what. Screaming about the strike zone, screaming about how he can't hit the broadside of a barn, screaming about how his manager is unnecessarily coming down his road and he should be worried about what's going on the field, screaming about anything because they are powerless to change their situation. And I don't know if it's Bob Melvin, I don't know if it's Bruce Bochy, I don't think there's a soul on earth that is going to stop them from continuing to spiral the way they have because they know it. They know they stink. That's what I saw in Willy Adames' face last night. I don't care who he was mad at. He knows that that team stinks, and he can't do anything about it.
Mm. Well, then you're part of the stench, though. I love that.
He is.
I don't disagree. And that's why he was lashing out. If they had the wrong sunflower seeds or bubble gum, he's just mad at the world. And to his credit, yesterday was the first time we got any indication that he snapped. If that's too strong, I get it. But I know what you're putting down, I get. But the bottom line is, don't tell me, oh, next year it'll be different. If you don't, if we're gonna leave this season, I know there's 35 games left, Evan. And the thing is, even reporters, the players, and the manager, I don't know. That's not good enough. Then I owe it to this organization to make change, just predicated on let's get somebody in here. But damn it, I don't know is not sufficient for an answer.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Leroy's in Oakland. Leroy, what's up, man? Good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's up, Evan? What's up, Goo? Happy Thursday. All right, Goo. You know, I've been trying to work on you, man, about this Devers trade.
Hey.
I just got a little more information. I'm going to try to get you to admit, man, that, you know, this Devers trade was not good. And I know a lot of people in the know was like, man, I'd make this trade in a heartbeat. But people in the know, Goo, you know, they could be wrong too, man. So the only thing, you know, I've been saying to you, Goo, was like this. Like at the end of May, like Labor Day. Like, we were really looking good, man. Do you remember that, Goo?
I do.
We were looking good. I mean, we were like 31-23, right? 1.5 games behind the Dodgers, right? We were playing great, and the pitching was spectacular. And that's why I kind of felt like, I was like, let's add to the pitching staff. Let's add to what's good about the team. Because what was bad about the team, even at that time when we were 1.5 game behind the Dodgers at Memorial Day. What was bad about the team was the hitting. We were like last in all the offensive categories back then. So it's like adding one bat wasn't going to do anything, and it didn't. I'm like, Booster, what is good about the team at Memorial Day when we were 31-23? Booster that, and that was the pitching staff, but they didn't do it. So ever since then, man, it's like we have been terrible since Labor Day, man. What did we get? Devers on June 15th, and it was just like we've been bad. So I just want to investigate why that is. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm not saying, but I was just like, we were doing so well. And, you know, I've always felt like Buster just pulled the trigger, you know, prematurely and thought it was the hitting when it was really we should have been bolstering the pitching staff that was pretty spectacular at that time.
No, I love it, Lee. And Evan, I'll just say this to Leroy's point, but Lee, even if you had Madison, you got to score to win games. And if you are inept hitting the ball, who would turn down the Devers trade to add that bat? Like, how many people would have said no to that? And the future part of it.
Nobody would have said no to it. But the fact remains, the Boston Red Sox are a team that is headed to the postseason, and the Giants are headed towards the lottery.
I just, wowee.
That's just a fact.
I just read something from Uncle Looney, and this is how real I am. When I read something and it captivates me, I'm going to read it, Evan, and you tell me, do you have some of this thought in you? Uncle Looney says, if you look at this Giant offense, it's amazing they have the record that they do. I mean, if you look at it from that vantage point, Melvin's going nowhere if Buster thinks that way. But I got to believe he's not. This team has just not hit, man, especially when it's been money time. The Dodger series right before the All-Star break, that Sunday game that went extra innings. Evan, my goodness. Like, is that how you look at this offense? It's a miracle that they're 5-under?
I don't know if I look at it like it's a miracle they're 5-under, but, Goo, they're against left-handed pitchers, which they faced last night. They are literally the worst hitting team in baseball. Let that sink in. The worst hitting team in baseball, and all you have to do, Goo, is throw the ball with your left hand. That's it. It doesn't have to be Randy Johnson. It could be J.P. Sears. Somebody who, by the way, was in El Paso a week ago. Yeah. He has a 5.50 ERA.
And I watched the Diamondbacks' first out, and they rocked him a couple weeks ago. Remember I text you, like, this dude's done.
He stepped in the mound last night and looked like Steve Carlton.
So what do you do about it, E?
You can't do anything now. You got to lay in it. But that's why I think Adamas is pissed off as he was.
Wow, man. But you still, I think Buster has to add, if we fast forward this offseason, you don't just stop. You know, Eldridge could be a part of it. And I'm going to be honest, where Dever plays at this point, that's the last thing on my itemized list. It's like, dude, we need your bat in the lineup. You perfect hitting the ball like you did in Beantown because we need better than what you've been showing. But who's to say Buster is seeing this? And for the people out here, and you're right, the offense stinks, that he goes, tries to get something better, a better catcher, a better right fielder. Like, I mean, all that is on the to-do list, so we can't rob the Giants of not seeing the problems and going to add. But if you're going to just run it back, per se, I mean, man,
well,
I don't know.
Well, you're not going to run it back, but this is going to take time. I think that's what we're learning this year. This is going to take longer than people thought. Mm. It just is. Mm. And whether it's with Melvin, whether it's with someone else, I personally don't think... Actually, I'll just say this.
Yeah.
The Giants don't deserve Bruce Bochy.
And
like,
man.
Come on. Seriously. Bruce Bochy is one of the greatest managers in baseball. And he made his hay with this franchise. This version of this franchise does not deserve Bruce Bochy. They're that bad. That's how bad they've
been. That's deep. It's powerful. But I'll say this, Evan. If we truly were having a beer with Bruce, and this was not going to get out his answer, and we asked him, is this Giant team better than what they're playing and hitting like and their record in totality, I got to believe Bruce would say yes.
Well, I don't know.
That's Willard might be in trouble.
I say he's an idiot.
Yeah. I got to believe he knows they're better than that. I mean, that's a given. And I get what you're saying, Evan. And to that caller's point a couple callers ago about one run here, one run there, it's like you can't even run into one. But I don't know why they can't hit left-handed pitching.
They scored a run last night.
No, I'm just saying for most often, you know, it's small sample size. The Giants are not using – what was the bat that we were saying was just instant offense?
Torpedoes?
Early? Yeah, they are not.
Yeah, that's
what – Hey, the Giants are not using torpedo bats if that's still a thing.
I actually think they are. They've just sent theirs to the graveyard. Let's go to Marvin in San Francisco. Help us wrap up this conversation. Marvin, what's going on, man? Good morning.
Hi. First of all,
the Florida Marlins in 2000 were in last place at midseason, showing no signs of life. I think the only thing they did was get a new manager, and they won the World Series beating the Yankees.
Okay? Wow.
The Giants in, the Giants in 2010 were last in hitting, home runs. I think their starting pitching ERA was like 5 at midseason. The only thing they did was get Buster Posey as a rookie. Came up. He had been up the year before. He came up. And Posey, of course, solidified the catching position. But think about the Giant players that they got, the Scuderos and the shortstop who won MVP in the World Series. I mean, Cody Ross. I mean, we've had these guys that are not major players. But Sabian had a way to get guys that needed redemption. And I thought that was the thing with Devers. I think Devers' whole problem is he went from a stadium with a left field wall that he could hit at 150 feet or whatever it is in Boston, and he's got a thing that looks like the Grand Canyon in San Francisco. That takes coaching. It takes batting coaches. It takes psychological coaching by the manager to straighten him out. And anybody who thinks that a new manager can't make a team better, I think you're wrong. Mm. I think that's what we need for some time. And what happens is it has to do with some managers are good at turning guys on and some managers, without even trying, turn them off.
Man.
And I think when the first time I saw Melvin, I said, man, we got our grandfather coaching this team. These are young guys, mostly on the rest of the lineup. They're going to have a lot of young people through the draft and so forth. I just think that was the problem, and I still think it's the problem. I think people ought to get out Devers back. He came here hurt. He was playing hurt. You watch what he does when he has a fresh start next year in the same location. But I think we need to get rid of the manager and the batting coach. Paralysis by analysis, man. They're swinging at pitches a foot outside and let balls go right down the pipe for called third strike. That is coaching, and that's what we need. That's my point.
Thank wow. You. Denzel has a meme to that
Thanks,
call
Marvin.
On Twitter, and it says, my man. And that's what I'm saying to that call. He, my man, like he was preaching.
Well, if Bob Melvin's too old, Bruce Bochy's 7 years older than he is.
I didn't agree with that part. He called him grandfather. But yeah, I'm not into the ageism.
If Bob Melvin's a grandpa, what does that make Bruce Bochy?
I mean,
Bochy?
Jim Leland came back and had success, and Bochy's got his wits about him. I'm not saying
managers don't matter. I'm saying a manager is not worth 20 wins.
But you think this team is not a manager? Like, That's what's so, and it's, you're not by yourself. Just a lot of people think, I don't care who you had, Goo, this team is what it is, and I just don't agree with that. Oh, it needs enhancements. Don't get me wrong. But, man, and the Jung-Hoo Lee thing, why I'm frustrated that he's balling real quick, is it Fussell now, or are you going to be the everyday leadoff hitter that you were supposed to be, or are you doing this now because the dogs basically have been called off?
Well, he was the leadoff hitter at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. My point.
Started to look like a golf ball. Tough to hit. All right. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Let's get into some football next. Let's talk about
football,
the San Francisco 49ers. They made a lot of moves yesterday in response to maybe not some good news. And then also, again, there's a piece that was written this morning about Brock Purdy, which had, I thought, some pretty interesting details into the contract negotiation this offseason. It revealed to us a little bit about maybe the ways that Brock Purdy is in the process of improvement and hopes to improve the Niners, who won just 6 games last year. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. That segment is brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Ghostface Killer and Tiana Taylor. Yeah.
I don't discriminate versus anyone.
I know which member of that duo you like more.
Yeah. And I love Kyle because he loves rap and named his son after Lil Wayne's Carter. That's just incredible, man.
Dude, I was showing Carter this picture. I think it was from last year during Halloween. Kyle Shanahan had Rick Ross over at his house.
Oh,
he was in like an all-white tux.
I fool with Kyle, man.
It
how
like he
dope
might have
is
had
that?
A few.
Yeah.
Rick Ross
he can recognize
with him.
A bar.
Possibly.
Yes. Yeah. He thought he was from Sacramento, Rick Ross.
That's great.
Because he goes
Steiner.
To Kings games.
Yes.
So funny.
Oh, man.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, we can table the Bruce Bochy stuff. I mean, we do have to bet on it, and I'll take the other side. But, you know, we can just get to that whenever that happens. And now, Goo, I want to move to the San Francisco 49ers.
It's time.
Made some moves yesterday. One of them, you know, kind of in response to the news that DeMarcus Robinson's pled no contest to a DUI, so he's going to be missing the first three games of this season.
Right.
And the Niners, as a result of that, as well as Russell Gage, he sprained his MCL and is going to be out for a week or two.
Yeah.
They traded for Sky Moore, 25-year-old wide receiver, formerly with the Chiefs, former second-round pick. They traded a sixth-round pick, got a seventh-round back, and a 25-year-old wide receiver.
Who's not that good or hasn't been that good. Let's keep it
so
real.
So it didn't hit you
yeah,
the way.
No, it did. It's just like, it's letting you know, we sit up here and we talk about, you know, the win total. We talk about Juwan Jennings. And Evan, if I'm Juwan Jennings, I think I feel better that you went out and got Sky Moore, who I hope under the tutelage of the San Francisco 49ers and catching passes or trying to catch passes from Brock Purdy will be, you know, the best version of himself. But, I mean, a dude his first two seasons, what, caught 43 passes for about 450 yards, one touchdown. And, you know, he played six games last year, Evan. I don't feel comfortable with him out there, but with that suspension looming for Robinson, who we've liked and popped in preseason and already was a baller, and you got Juwan Jennings in this holdout, and Ayuk on sick bay, and Debo in Washington. I mean, Evan, you can't go to week one Seattle expecting much from him. And my question to you and the listeners is, how big of a deal is this wide receiver position for the 49ers right now? I think it's dire.
Well, it's dim.
Mm.
It's they got nothing. It's a lack of depth is what it is, at least until midway through the season. And that's why, like, Brock Purdy and this offense is going to have to survive until some of these guys start coming back, or even until Juwan Jennings signs his contract. I'm assuming that he's still going to be available, but the more he doesn't practice, or maybe it's because of the calf, I'm not so sure. It's looking, as each day passes, more unlikely that he is going to be ready for the start of the season. Mm. But Brandon Ayuk is out. Russell Gage now is out. Jordan Watkins has a high ankle sprain, is out. That's three wide receivers right there that could all catch passes for you. So your wide receiver room as it stands right now is Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, who actually wasn't even available at practice on Tuesday, I believe, Robbie Chosen, and now Sky Moore.
What's up with Cowing? Hamstring still?
He got hurt.
So he's...
Well, nothing is serious. It's,
okay.
It's all stuff that, again,
soft tissue
we
stuff.
Should be able to move past, but your wide receiver room is quite thin. And to me, I mean, the Niners making a move for Sky Moore, if they really do care about their wide receiver room, this won't be the last move they make.
Okay. But, again, I need more. Shout out Roger Moore, because that's not who Sky Moore is. But the bottom line, Evan, is we're going to get to this piece about Brock Purdy and him having to do more. But, good God, how can you expect him or any quarterback to do more when, do I dare say, you're playing with less because of injuries, contract holdout? Like, how did you did this Sky Moore move do anything to you in regard to Juwan Jennings? If you're calling and John on, we might have to bite the bullet and just give this dude the bread for the betterment of our team for the first 4 or 5 weeks. Like, yeah. You can't keep playing this game of chicken.
Well, I don't know if it changes the stalemate in my mind. I don't think it gives the Niners any more leverage over Juwan, but I don't think it gives Juwan more leverage over the Niners than he already had. I mean, he's looking at a room that really needs him.
No doubt.
And this is from the 415 in the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, which is an area that Juwan also impacts. The most concerning part of the wide receiving issue for the Niners is the effect it has on the rest of the offense. It will be more difficult for CMC to run the ball effectively, and defenses can load the box on these receivers and force them to beat you one-on-one, which puts more pressure on Purdy, the offensive line. It's going to have to block for a second or two longer, which they're not capable of.
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster, Evan.
He or she is describing the domino effect of it. Everyone has already had their eyes on CMC. When he was, I mean, I think he faced one of the most loaded boxes in the NFL in 2023. But that's when they had Debo Samuel, right. Brandon Ayuk.
Had a good year that year.
And other options.
Yeah.
I mean, we describe this offense as having the best weaponry in football surrounding Brock Purdy. And they still have Kittle. They still have CMC. But does the concern And maybe it's because of the injuries or the, you know, the contract situation with Juwan Jennings. Like, how concerned are you about the offense as a whole because of what they don't have at wide receiver?
With the Pooney injury, Evan, and I know him possibly being back week one, I'm at an 8. And what's funny about this and scary, isn't it? I don't, Niner fans like, what's funny, Goo? But the bottom line is, Evan, my biggest question mark about this team going into this season was defensively. It was defensively and the dependency on the youngsters, and that's what was scaring me, and the physicality that the Niners are known for, and the loss of Greenlaw and Hufanga or whatnot. And here we go. All of a sudden now I feel like the offense, which I thought I knew and could count on to a degree with McCaffrey being healthy, but now that's exploded into all these other areas of doubt. So, Evan, I'm up to an 8 in regard to Brock Purdy entering a season where naturally you're going to have to lean on him more, especially with Ayuk being out just to start. But now we're talking about, you said Pearsall. And again, I know people are saying, Goo, you're overreacting. He missed practice yesterday. Okay, no biggie. But good Lord, how can you expect anybody under center to cook or do more when you're working with less by default because of injury?
But, well, that's what everybody keeps saying, that Brock Purdy has to do more. You know, Brock Purdy got paid. The pressure's on Brock. There's expectations. And in theory, I understand why people are saying that. But I'm looking at the people he's going to have to throw the ball to, and I wonder how he can suddenly just be better.
Ooh, man. He
can be more accurate. He can get the ball out quicker. He can be more mobile. He can control himself. But he can't control guys running routes or getting open.
So what does that look like on the field, D? How do you sustain drives doing it, you know, without knowing that?
Well, we're going to find out, but I think it means they're going to have to run the football. It also means that George Kittle is going to have to be the freaking man this year. You know, and that's why, you know, we've talked a lot about, like, Pearsall being the number one wide receiver for the Niners. And I'm in agreement with that. Right. I think it's pretty obvious right now he's got to be.
I like the number one, yeah.
He's wearing number one.
That's sick.
Pretty Ricky. But it's his first full season as a wide receiver.
His first start attempt at a full season, but you're right.
Yeah, he played a decent amount last year and got some starts down the stretch. I think he had one 100-yard receiving game with a couple touchdowns, but he's got to do that for now 17 weeks.
Right, man.
He might be able to. But just like calling someone wide receiver one doesn't mean that they're going to contribute to winning.
But
it means that there's nobody else to throw the ball to.
Well, there is, and you got to give him some chicken because I just think it's too much at risk. Games, obviously the outcome of games, Evan, to sit here and do whatever's going on with Jennings and put that all at Pearsall's doorstep. Like, if you told me, hey, Goo, you got to take the career of Jennings and Pearsall, the future, it's Pearsall all day. But if you're telling me who's the most accomplished, the guy you can count on, the adult in the receiver room right now is Juwan Jennings. And unfortunately, Evan, if the Niners feel that way, that's not parlaying him to getting a new deal. Like, I got to believe that Saturday before the Sunday when they fly or whenever they leave to go to Seattle, and hopefully it's done or finished before then, I just don't think Colin John, you know, if this team were the Broncos, you got to pay that receiver that is Juwan Jennings.
Well, but how much do you have to pay him? We don't know how much he wants. I don't know if the Niners really want to budge on the books that they've cooked up for this season.
Just because he's not due, right? And he's got one more year
left.
He's
under contract. Now, he wants more guaranteed money. I think he probably wants,
I get it,
you know, more money beyond this season. But the Niners are looking at him like, dude, we gave you a deal a couple years ago, and it's not for a ton, you know, but you weren't the number one receiver then. And you might not be the number one receiver now, and when Brandon Ayuk comes back, you certainly won't be the number one receiver. So Juwan Jennings is trying to cash in his chips, and I get it. I don't think the Sky Moore trade does much for me outside of just adding a body.
No, man.
And look, he can return punts. I think he had a punt return for a touchdown the Chiefs' last preseason game in Seattle. You know, he's kind of a gadget player. Has an issue with route running, but he's pretty quick. I don't know. Maybe Kyle Shanahan can scheme up some things for him. But to me, he's more of just a member of the room. And that's why if they really do care about their wide receiving core, I think they're going to have to add some more. And I don't know if it's guys who are getting cut. To me, if it is a trade, it's something more like Sky Moore and not like the 510 is saying, I don't know why the 49ers aren't on the phone with Washington right now to acquire Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin's really expensive.
I was just going there, no doubt.
And I think a big part of the Niners' cap position right now, of which they have a lot of space, it's invested in next season when Brock Purdy's contract really kicks in. And that's why this year, I do not think they're looking to acquire more contracts or give out more contracts than the one they've already distributed.
Man, so let me ask you this, Evan. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but with everything that's going on with everybody at the wide receiver position, do you really truly think Sky Moore will be lined up on the outside week one in Seattle for Brock Purdy to be a target for Brock?
He might have to be.
Man, you mentioned body, and I mean, all they gave up was what, a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick?
Six, so, and they got a seventh back.
Yeah, no doubt. But man, he.
I mean, it's not – well, this is the thing, too. It's like the Chiefs don't have a ton of wide receivers either.
And let me be quiet.
And they said
– night-night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You know, and they also have an issue. Like, well, I know Rashee Rice is going to be active for the beginning of this season.
Which is just – we won't even go – but my man's suspended for three games, DeMarcus Robinson, for something far less.
Yeah, but Rashee Rice is probably going to get hit at some point with a suspension. They just had to push back the hearing, and it's a court-related issue. But like, they're going to need wide receivers, too, and they said, you can have one.
Man, so hopefully he's the diamond in the rough, and Kyle could, yeah.
Well, the other reason that someone like Terry McLaurin, to me, doesn't make a ton of sense for the Niners is once they are whole, you know, their wide receiver room is relatively stable.
I don't think it's McLaurin and Brandon Ayuk.
Well, yeah, you paid him to be.
Exactly.
You might have made the wrong choice,
man.
But you've already got one of those guys.
Ooh, man,
you can't have two of them if your offense is not geared around it. I understand why the Bengals have two 30-plus million receivers.
But one
of them actually makes 40.
Yeah, but anyway, go figure.
Well, that's why they can't pay Trey Hendrickson.
But you're going to score 40 and lose 40 to 45, you know?
That's what happened last year.
Matters, no doubt.
That's what happened last year. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of sort of those middle-range wide receivers that the Niners can look at. Romeo Doubs might be a candidate. And I think cut-down day is next Tuesday, so there's going to be some guys available. And I think the Niners are going to look at a lot of them because they have to exhaust all options right now in regards to their pass catchers.
So where do you, I've said right now, Evan, if you can, muster a letter grade for the Niner weaponry right now, mainly for Brock Purdy, what grade would you give it? I'm like at a C-.
Their weaponry?
Well, yeah, all the collective, all of it.
I mean, if you include Kittle and McCaffrey, and you can guarantee me McCaffrey's healthy, I would say a B-. But it ain't close to the A-plus it was in that, 2 years ago.
And now this is a season where, forget the money, it just happened naturally. But, you know, this is a season where they're going to need more from 13, man. Like it or not, it just comes with the territory.
What
luxuries, I feel like, are gone. You know, and Debo was a luxury, and it was a necessity at one point. But, you know, how Kyle, on a good day, could use Debo to stress the defense out pre-snap, have him in motion, not knowing what he was going to do, the bubble sweeps, all that stuff, that's gone now. So now, you know, who did you mention say that the Niners are going to face a loaded box? That's definitely – I play Madden, and no, I would load the box to take McCaffrey away and then make these guys on the outside beat us. But if we're dependent on Pearsall, Jennings, maybe not Jennings, Sky Moore, and the rest of the gang, like, Evan, it just feels like it has the ingredients to be difficult offensively for the Niners in the passing game.
Yeah, I think it might look a lot like
man.
It looked last year.
Oh, man.
When Brock Purdy had wide receivers dropping like flies. Now, let me ask you, because Willard and Dibbs had Greg Cosell on yesterday.
Greg, he's always
And great. They asked him this question, which I do want to play for you. But before, I want to ask you how much you think was Purdy's fault last season when they went 6-11.
I'm going to say, I'll put it at 65%.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and There were throws. I remember the – I watched these games again, and then you get, come on, Goo. There were throws from the outset of games, out routes, and you could just tell, damn, Purdy, it's okay to miss a pass, but you hadn't got hit. This is the first pass of the game, and the accuracy wasn't there, or the ball would go wide. And, you know, I sat there and said, okay, what's going on? Why is he running more? And then Steiny and I would go back, but I figured, and again, to kind of let him off the hook, Evan, he was running out of necessity. You know, the pocket was collapsing more. So, yeah, I get you with 65 being a bit strong, but Evan, there was some regression, but he wasn't the whole reason. They were 6-11, but he looked human compared to, if you allow me to compare him, what we saw from him the first 2 years. But now my question about Brock Purdy is, forget the money, did he look that great because everything around him was better?
Well, yes. Yes, obviously. I think he amplifies what is around him. And last year there was nothing. I would cut that in half.
Okay.
You know, if you're at 65, I would be closer to like 30.
Hmm.
And, you know, because I'm also looking at all the things that happened for the rest of the team.
He didn't have his best player for the first 8 weeks.
Well, but I'm also not putting it at the doorstep of the offense. Like the defense couldn't get stops in the run game. They didn't have as many turnovers. Special teams was absolutely atrocious. They were one of the worst units in football last year. I don't think the Kyle Shanahan had a great season. They obviously got off their DC and their special teams coordinator.
But we saw a lot of three and outs. See, that Seattle game where Geno came in here and did night-night, where the Niners had the ball, you get a first down or a score here, you put the ball away, you put the game away, Arizona at home, when McCaffrey fumbled at the end. Like, I wasn't used to that. So we saw, injuries or not, a lot of that from the Niner offense that I'm not accustomed to where, hey, you get a couple first downs here, the game's over, you bleed the clock, or you get a field goal at least or a touch. Like last year, we saw them kind of not do that outside of the Tampa game on the road where they were lucky to get that win. But I saw a lot of times where teams had success. All right, you got to punt. The Rams game Thursday night where the offense just couldn't do what I was accustomed to seeing them do.
Well, we've been accustomed to them putting up 30 points a game, and that offense was not going to do that without some of its playmakers. The reason why I asked the question is,
here's what
Greg Cosell had to say about the Niners last year and Brock Purdy's place in it.
When it comes to the subtleties and the nuances and the understanding of how to play the position, Brock Purdy is high level. Does he have a rocket arm? No. Is he the most athletic quarterback in the league? No. But he understands intuitively and innately how to play the quarterback position. You know, look, you guys, I'm sure, have talked ad nauseum going back to last year and probably through the summer about why the Niners were 6-11. And there's many reasons for that. And it's not just Brock Purdy. In fact, he'd probably be one of the least important reasons.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll say this to that, Evan, and people don't take this out of context. Two of the best quarterbacks that I've ever seen do it didn't have the strongest arm or that athletic, and that's Tom Brady and Joe Montana. They had arm, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it wasn't Dan Marino or John Elway. And so what I'm saying is I'd rather have my quarterback have the Wi-Fi on super fast mode and maybe have lesser in regard to arm talent, but good enough arm talent to get it done. But I hear him.
But you've also said that Brock Purdy doesn't have Montana's arm talent.
Yeah, but his ability to read the defenses and get the ball out, was the best mechanism.
Yeah, and last year I would say it was really hard to figure out where to go with the ball because there were so many more moving parts last year than there were the year before when it was like he had the answers to the test.
And how many times did PFF, if you're in that or not, Evan, did they have Debo and Ayuk, you know, getting the least separation from a duo of receivers throughout the season, you know? And I'm not saying – I'm not caping for Purdy. I'm just saying if a guy's not open – your quarterback's going to hold on to the ball longer, and we saw that last year.
Well, and that was one thing from Nick Wagner's piece that was released this morning on ESPN that he talked about Brock Purdy looking to improve, getting the ball out quicker. So last year, his average time until, I think his average drop back was 2.9 seconds, which doesn't seem like that long, but was the sixth longest in the NFL. So Brock, compared to his peers, he was holding on to it. I guess my question is, what's going to change if the people around him or the talent level is not really that much higher?
No, I'm,
You know, man. Brandon Ayuk, and I know people don't really like him.
I do.
Well, I know you do. Like everybody. But he's your best wide receiver when he's healthy. Now, he might not be a $30 million guy, but he's your best wide receiver. He's not going to be there. And this season, he might not be himself because of his knee injury.
But he's not, Evan, real quick, he's not your best target, though.
What do you mean?
Like Kittle's their best target.
Well, Ayuk caught more balls than him in 23. You know, he's going to get more passes thrown to him because he's the number one wide receiver they have.
Yeah, but my point is right now, that's what you could count on is George Kittle. And again, I believe that stat goes to guys weren't getting open, and that's why you have no room for error, no margin of error to play around with Juwan Jennings. And I'm not saying Jennings is Jerry Rice, but Evan, if you look at this receiver core today, he lightweight is Jerry Rice compared to what you have and what you're banking on Ricky Pearsall doing in week one.
And I guess that's where we differ. And the question I have is, you know, how much do you put on Brock Purdy for last season? And is it influencing the way that you expect him to bounce back this year or want the offense to look this season? You know, like how much is on Brock Purdy? Because I don't want to dig into some more details from this piece about some of the things that Brock and his agent, honestly, were looking at in regards to the negotiation. Because I think it reveals a little bit about how he sees himself, what he believes is important, and maybe also where, you know, he kind of stands in the league with his peers. But, I mean, Goo, he can only do so much, and he's not Superman. He's I don't think he is, and I don't expect him to transform into one. I think he's very good.
What has he been when they were going to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship? Still not Superman? Because I think he was Superman.
I don't think he was Superman.
Of just doing what Kyle asked. But I believe, again, I'm not taking anything away from Brock. He earned that bread. But he had so many luxuries around him, Evan, that it made it easier. Yeah, last year was the first time that 2.9, that's telling. And I don't think it's because Brock forgot how to get rid of the ball. Surveying the field like, I ain't got the options. It ain't as easy as it was in years past.
Well, yeah, there's a lot more moving parts when your offensive line is breaking down. You can't run the ball with an effectiveness like the year before. Guys aren't as wide open as they used to be. There's tighter windows.
Man.
You're playing from behind the like. There's so much more that Brock Purdy has to deal with. So I think he's going to be better this year. But to just expect him to leap back into that elite level that he was commanding the offense with 2 years ago, those days are done. He got paid, and that came at a price.
And Evan, I know we're up against it. That's why I'm a little, you can sense the trepidation of, are we so sure he's going to be better or have better results because the things around him not are eroding, but have so many question marks?
I think he will. I think he will. But we can talk about it more on the other side because we got to hit a break here.
Right.
That segment was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or even over the Golden Gate, visit BarriaOilChange.com. Getting's in for Steinmetz with Guru. Back after this.